FBI immediately responded to the scene here in West Palm Beach, Florida, and we are investigating this matter as an apparent assassination attempt of former President Trump.
On Sunday, a second assassination attempt on the life of a former U.S. president and current candidate for the presidency, Donald Trump. And while we know the details surrounding the moments after Ryan Roth fired towards the president, we still are piecing together the motivation of the shooter and how this could affect the rest of the campaign trail for both candidates. I'm Scotty Nell Hughes, and this is Perspective. Former president and current Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump is safe following another assassination attempt shortly before 2 p.m. on Sunday while he was golfing at his own course in West Palm Beach, Florida. Now, in an email Trump sent out shortly after gunshots were fired to his supporters, Trump stated, "Before rumors start spiraling out of control, I wanted you to hear this first. I am safe and well. Nothing will slow me down. I will never surrender." Now, following the shots in the air, U.S. Secret Service was quick to react.
The Secret Service agent that was on the course did a fantastic job. What they do is they have an agent that jumps one hole ahead of time to where the president was at. And he was able to spot this rifle barrel sticking out of the fence and immediately engage that individual, at which time the individual took off.
Now, officials said the shrubbery surrounding the golf course allowed the shooter to hide, and his belongings showed his intentions were not only to kill the president, but to film himself either doing so or the aftermath.
In the bushes where this guy was is an AK-47 style rifle with a scope, two backpacks which were hung on the fence that had ceramic tile in them, and a GoPro which he was going to take pictures of.
Now understand, the shooter was only 300 to 500 yards from the president, which would not be a long distance considering the type of scope the assailant had on the rifle. However, unlike the first assassination attempt, which ended in the shooter being killed by a sniper, the shooter was quickly apprehended by the Secret Service.
Fortunately, we were able to locate a witness that came to us and said, "Hey, I saw the guy running out of the bushes. He jumped into a black Nissan, and I took a picture of the vehicle and the tag," which was great. So we had that information. Our real-time crime center put it out to the license plate readers, and we were able to get a hit on that vehicle on I-95 as it was headed into Martin County. We got a hold of Martin County Sheriff's Office, alerted them, and they spotted the vehicle and pulled it over and detained the guy.
Okay, so the man accused of attempting to assassinate former President Donald Trump, Ryan Ruth, was on law enforcement's radar for multiple years before the attempted shooting.
By way of his background, in 2002, as the United States Attorney mentioned, the subject was charged and convicted in North Carolina for possession of a weapon of mass destruction. Law enforcement checks also revealed that from 1997 to 2010, the subject had numerous felony charges for stolen goods.
Okay, so in recent times, in 2019, the FBI actually received a tip Ruth was a felon who was unlawfully possession of a firearm. And the FBI closed the matter after transferring it to a local law enforcement. And while there has been stepped up security footprints since the assassination attempt in July, like a lineup of dump trucks parked in a wall outside the building Trump Tower in New York, and at outdoor rallies, Trump is now speaking from behind an enclosure of bulletproof glass. Very few other details have been released about the changes which have been made to Trump's details in recent weeks. So I want to discuss all of this with our panel. We have Dominic Izzo, former Chicago area police officer, Woodrow Johnston, Republican strategist and CEO of Revere Strategies, and Lionel, attorney and media analyst. Thank you so much for joining me, gentlemen. On, I think, once again, it's another week, another breaking news story that none of us had in our bingo cards for the election of 2024. So I'm going to start with you on this one, Dominic, being our resident law enforcement. How did this happen again? I thought President Biden gave President Trump full security following the first attempt, and yet this was actually said by the local sheriff in Florida.
at this level that he is at right now, he's not the sitting president. If he was, we would have had this higher golf course around it. But because he's not, the security is limited to the areas that the Secret Service deems possible.
Okay, so Dominic, how did this happen?
Can I ruin my credibility as former law enforcement and say that this is just too coincidental and the start to finish this was too perfect? A witness, it looked like a Chinese-made SKS that was allegedly used. You're going to tell me a Secret Service agent saw that tiny little barrel in the bushes with all that shadowing, and they just had to have a witness that got the license plate, and the time from when he left to where the time from when he stopped was perfectly timed out from like the MapQuest directions going. I looked at the entire start to finish stop, including the tactics where they took him into custody. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to say this. I'm a professional retired police officer. It looked way too perfectly planned, strategized, and taken into custody to be legitimate at this point. And I don't care who thinks I'm crazy. This is just insane at this point.
Okay, but to your point, and I've asked this question, if this guy is some sort of insider, if this guy's a part of some sort of inside job or something, he's very odd. And you in a term that's actually been very Joe Biden and Kamala Harris has made friendly, weird. He's very weird. Is this the type of people the CIA is using or any of these, the deep state's using in these types of situations?
We've heard of Operation Mockingbird, and he looks like if he's on the FBI's watch list from years ago and they have contacts with him. I mean, how much longer are we going to go, oh, it's a conspiracy theory, you guys are all nuts? How is it that far-fetched to say that this was a recruit of theirs? When you look at him being taken into custody, was he crazy or was he a man that was told, hey, listen, they're going to pull you over, comply, be taken into custody? He looks way too poised and relaxed and just kind of like, oh, this was the plan, guys, wasn't it? And I, like I said, it may sound crazy, but this stuff is just way too coincidental not to be questioned.
Well, and so that's why we bring you on is to actually ask some questions. So, Lionel, there is a lot of speculation, rumors circulating, as Dominic kind of alluded to on this one. You've always been good at getting straight to the truth. So, actually, who do you see Ryan Ruth is, and what do you believe his motivation is?
Okay, first of all, Operation Mockingbird was about the press. That was the CIA. That was Washington Post. You mean MKUltra, maybe? SKS is a Soviet-style versus Chinese. Whatever it is. And by the by, lady and gentlemen, were I to represent this fellow, I'm going to say you have absolutely no evidence whatsoever that he planned to assassinate anyone. He had these weapons here and a backpack with ceramic tiles and some lunch and a GoPro, and that's it. The only shots fired, apparently, were from Secret Service trying to dispatch him. So good luck with you either calling him an assassin or trying to, unless, of course, he said something in interrogations or as a co-defendant we don't know about or whatever it is. Now, why does he do this? Who knows? But here's a question I have. If I love President Trump as much as...
I'm sorry, what was that?
Well, thank you.
If I love President Trump as much as...
Woodrow, what was that real quick?
No, he didn't do anything.
Oh, well, that's
it. It's a rifle.
He said, he's on a golf course with the firearm. You're telling me don't think he was there to assassinate the president? I mean, I'm not saying that's what you're saying. Sounds like you're a really good defensive.
Let me tell you something. No. As a police officer, I'd say, this guy's a suspect. As a trial lawyer, say, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, please tell me where evidence that he attempted to assassinate anybody. Yeah. For all we know, it sounds crazy, he could have designed, his intention was to leave this to make it appear. I don't know. The thing is, we don't have any evidence. I'm a lawyer. I go by evidence. But here's my very, very quick thing I want to say. I don't know why Elon Musk and Sean Hannity and all these millionaires and billionaires don't say, we're going to hire you a Praetorian Guard, a bunch of ninjas to watch you. Every time you go out, you're going to have 30 drones flying around you. We're going to dissuade anybody lurking in some bushes. And the very fact that nobody could walk around, just the four of us could walk around and say, hey, there's a hole over here and there's shrubbery. I mean, there's two things, as you know, and I'll just stop. There's make it happen on purpose and let it happen on purpose. Sometimes the best way to let terrible things happen are let incompetent people be incompetent. And pretty soon, somebody's going to get lucky enough, as, thank God, almost occurred here.
You know, it's a very good point on this one. You know, if you're, that's what's going to be very scary. If he is able to show, wait a minute, you can't prove, yes, I had a gun that was around, an illegal gun. Okay, so charge me with a minor, you know, charge me with that, but you can't prove anything. I still can't get why you would have a tile with him. There's a lot of questions about, but Woodrow, what's interesting in all this, who's coming out to be a hero, is former challenger to Donald Trump, Governor DeSantis of Florida. He said in a tweet, the state of Florida will be conducting its own investigation regarding the attempted assassination at Trump International Golf Club. So here's the thing. Why would the governor of Florida need to have his own investigation? Is there this much mistrust of the federal agencies following the first assassination attempt?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, polling shows this, that distrust of the FBI is at an all-time high, especially amongst conservatives. But, you know, how are you going to trust an organization that, you know, to investigate itself potentially, right? we have an organization that has admitted to do false flags over the past 100 years. You know, you mentioned Operation Mockingbird, you mentioned MK Ultra. I don't know how anyone can trust the federal government to investigate anything at this point.
Okay, so Dominique, from your standpoint, looking at you said you looked at all the tapes, it just looks way too perfect. Once again, isn't there supposed to be a perimeter? And we've been told now that that Roth had camped out for a few days, thinking that Trump might show up there. If you've ever seen the property that's around Mar-a-Lago, it's not like this is just a very busy property. I mean, it's all billionaire mansions is basically, it's not like, you know, it's like you're in a park almost with every landlot. How was he even allowed to be this close to the president, considering Secret Service was supposed to have an established perimeter?
Well, they talked about the fact that this wasn't like a scheduled event, so it wasn't right. Anything for political, just him golfing. So you're going to have the county sheriff take over that, and apparently this was just like another day ending in Y for them. I don't know how the communication works where if the Secret Service, because the sheriff, Rick, I can't remember what his name is, said that they're in constant communication with the Secret Service. So if that's the case, do they not notify them and say, hey, listen, we're coming in, we got a 7:30 tea time this morning, and that means that all their county guys would be up and check the perimeter. So I don't know if this is human error, but they also said that this was a hole that was complained about for quite a lengthy time on the golf course that people knew about. So it's just as Lionel said, you either plan it to happen or allow it to happen. I it makes no sense. So just from the start to the finish to that just gorgeous plethora of evidence that was left behind. And I 100% agree with Lionel. Where's his intent? He didn't confess to anything. So I don't know what they're going to wind up doing. It was too perfect for law enforcement to get this clean. So I have a lot of questions that I don't know if we'll get answered.
Well, and that's, we still have lots of questions from the first one. So Dominique Woodrow, Lionel, I want you to stay right here. Because when we come back after a short break, we are going to talk about how this is going to affect the campaign trail. I mean, former President Trump has been known to capitalize on any situation. So we're going to discuss and look as if how a second assassination attempt will affect the campaign trail for both of the candidates moving forward. Welcome back to Perspective. I'm your host, Skynell Hughes. In July, following the first assassination attempt on President Trump's life in Butler, Pennsylvania, Trump's campaign noticed a sizable momentum and fundraising shift. Now, prominent endorsements like billionaire and tech investor Elon Musk went public with their support, and the momentum carried Donald Trump right into the opening of the RNC. There is nothing good about an assassination attempt on any president's life. But following a few weeks of less than favorable press after the debate, will this be a momentum shift forward to the Trump campaign? And what are Democrats doing to make sure it does not? I want to bring back in our panel. You have Dominique Izzo, former Chicago area police officer, Woodrow Johnston, Republican strategist and CEO of Revere Strategies, and Lionel, attorney and media analyst. You know, before we left, I want to get back to one really important question. We're talking about the coverage and the investigation into Trump. Dominique, Congress is now stressing the need for Trump to be fully protected. Listen.
President Trump needs the most coverage of anyone. He's the most attacked. He's the most threatened, even probably more than when he was in the Oval Office. So we are demanding in the House that he have every asset available, and we will make more available if necessary. I don't think it's a funding issue.
Okay, it's not a funding issue. Do you have someone, the potential leader of the free world's life at stake? Do you think that now, not one, but now twice, someone potentially has been able to penetrate the security surrounding President Trump? Does this not potentially make more mentally unstable people think about attempting, thus making Trump even more in danger?
100%. I don't know why they even have to implore Congress to do this. I don't know why it's not done. I'm not 100% Trump supporter. I'm a libertarian, right? I'm right in the middle of everything. But I remember very minimally of Reagan being shot. I was 6 years old, but I remember the big deal that it was. We haven't had that since then. How, after the first attempt where he's legitimately shot, how is this not, okay, we have several weeks to the election. This is the most recognized man in America, if not the world, hated by millions who oppose him. We cannot afford to have any mistakes whatsoever. We have to times 10 his security. I don't know why this is even an issue for them to bring this up. So it blows me away why they have to beg for this.
Well, and it's interesting because now from a political strategy point, Woodrow, do you think the second attempt will affect Trump's popularity like we saw in the first one?
No, I don't think it's going to be to the same level. I mean, the first time he got shot in the ear, in front of America, essentially. And, he did a fist pump to the sky and he got a huge bump in the polls after that. And, it's funny, everyone, who's seen House of Cards, who's seen The West Wing, who's seen any of these TV shows featuring an American president who faces an assassination attempt, it has almost no bearing on the election. By the time the election happens, it's completely forgotten. And I always thought that was unrealistic, but we've seen that unfold. I think, my mom, who's my favorite focus group, she was all in for Trump when he got hit in the ear. And then as soon as Kamala Harris came in, she's all in for Harris. So it's sad, but unfortunately, the American people can be very fickle about these things.
Well, and Lionel, I'm sure you have a theory on that, but I want to get your opinion on this because I noticed the Democrats this time were quick to say, don't fall for Republicans and try to blame this on the rhetoric from Harris or any of supporters.
The problem is this guy and his people here that are doing the bomb threats throughout our country. Domestic terrorism is a real thing, and he is the guy that stokes it.
Today's apparent assassination attempt comes amid increasingly fierce rhetoric on the campaign trail itself. Mr. Trump, his running mate J.D. Vance, continue to make baseless claims about Haitian immigrants in Ohio. This weekend, there were new bomb threats.
Sadly, the finger-pointing at Trump has led to, the line about the blood bath, talking about the auto industry being used as if he's going to create a bloody coup if he loses. That kind of verbiage is something you use in a third world country when you're talking about a dictator.
You know, it's funny about we've now been confirmed. I think the FBI came back in and said, actually, all those bomb threats came from outside of the United States. So, throw away all that. But Democrats seem to be a lot more organized this time and their cohorts in the mainstream media. They're almost prepared in how to respond and prevent any political boost from an averted tragedy. What does this say right now about them? Lionel.
Well, it shows you this orchestrated and choreographed schizophrenia on their part. First of all, the idea that this is today President Trump was attempted assassination, but because he mentioned eating pets, well, there you go. How they make that pivot is another story. But Scotty, dear friend, let me tell you about this man. He lives in a world of an inertia, a gravity, a place that we don't exist. We don't know anything about it. He gets hit. He gets convicted 34 times. His numbers go up. His fundraising goes up. They said, wait till you see his mugshot. When they see the mugshot became the most popular picture since Che Guevara. Everything he does that you think would destroy him, actually, he turns it around. But I want to say one thing. If I were to use a kind of a diminished capacity or insanity defense for this lunatic, whose name I will never say, I would say, you know what motivated him? Let me tell you what motivated him. These people. And I would run. Maxine Waters, this Crockett, all these people screaming and yelling, bringing up these lies about tiki torches and Charlottesville and this and that over and over. And Maxine Waters stood before the American people and said, and if you see a Trump border, you go out, because and recently Hillary Clinton, he is systematically responsible for the end of civilization. Now, I represent this lunatic who basically left his rifle there because he had second thoughts. That might be a defense because he never did anything. But if you want to ask him what his motivation was, if you want to ask what made him do that, I point to you, the Democratic Party. Roll the tape. And I would take your B-roll and say, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. The people who were screaming the loudest for Donald Trump to be what? What exactly did you mean something had to be done? What did you mean by that? You're talking to lunatic people out there who might want to be the next patriot, the next Paul Revere, or the next whoever, Thomas Jefferson. You know, the tree of liberty being whatever it is by the blood of patriots. You know, these are the same people, right, by the way, who said that January 6th, that Trump was responsible because of the rhetoric where all he said was, be fair, be peaceful. Hey, do you want the National Guard? Yet today, they see absolutely nothing wrong with what they said. Nothing that could possibly motivate some depraved lunatic with a Chinese rifle or a Russian rifle and a bag of ceramic tiles. I mean, you know, seriously, pick your side. You can't have it both ways, Democrats.
Well, and that's the thing, Dominic, as a talk show host yourself, you know, constantly the Democrats saying this is all a result of Trump's rhetoric. I point out that when Trump's talking about any of these things, he's talking about ideas. He's talking about policies. Democrats say Trump will destroy democracy. Trump is a threat to democracy. They list the individual. Does that have anything to do with the motivation right here?
I want to say that what Lionel just said is so important, and maybe he could be the one to pioneer this, where we have to attach criminal liability to people who spout out that rhetoric and hold politicians accountable. I mean, for the love of God, you're going to take one school shooter and arrest his father for being culpable in a crime. When are we going to start holding politicians accountable for their, well, I didn't say that. The coordinated attack on Trump by mainstream media and social media influencers, it's so incredible to watch how good they are, how detailed they are, how quick they are, and their wording. Their wording is, it toes the line of inciting violence without doing so. So everything that Lionel just said, I wish to God some attorney could find some way to link their accountability. But what would it require? A confession from a subject and say, yeah, I listened to Maxine Waters and I was just doing what she told me. And God knows there's a way for cops to do it, right? Hey, did Maxine Waters influence you at all in your conversation? Yeah, she did. And then all of a sudden you link that. But until that happens, I see no way out of this happening.
Well, and that's the thing, Woodrow, because, you know, as you there's a fine line there, because obviously freedom of speech comes into question. Freedom of press comes into question. And unfortunately, we've seen when you open up that Pandora's box, they continue to go at it. At the same time, does it seem like there's a double standard as to how it is painted, that one side's the party of violence versus the other?
No, I don't know if there's a double standard. What I will say is, look, we had a whole generation of Americans who were bred to literally defeat and kill Hitler, frankly. I mean, we had total war in this country to defeat Adolf Hitler. So when you start telling everyone that, hey, this guy is Hitler, some people might actually believe that. And of course, something bad like this is going to happen. So yeah, I mean, there's definitely, you know, free speech is definitely important, but I mean, these people need to face some responsibility for what they've been doing. They've been telling us that this, you know, this person is a threat to everything that exists. And if he was, you know, of course something's going to happen.
Well, and you would hope that accountability would come at the ballot box, that people would not keep reelecting folks that use this kind of rhetoric. And yet, a lot of these guys are career politicians. Thank you so much for joining me, Dominic Izzo, Woodrow Johnston, and Lionel. You know, the Federal Bureau of Investigation admits they've been aware of Robert Ruth since 2019. In 2002, in Greensboro, North Carolina, Ruth was charged with possession of a fully automatic machine gun, referred to in court filings as a weapon of mass destruction. Now, Ruth had traveled back and forth, not hiding his disdain for anyone who did not passionately support the Ukraine as much as he did. But because of this passion, Ruth was given unrestrained access to Capitol Hill. political celebrities, and even made multiple media appearances on mainstream platforms like Newsweek.
My initial goal was to come and fight. I think, you know, everybody around the globe should be motivated to come here and support the Ukrainians and support the army, no matter what gender, age, anything. Everybody should be here supporting the army.
Yet no one ever considered whether Ruth should be restricted, censored, or not given attention. His past actions, they didn't land him on the no-fly list like Tulsi Gabbard, or the target of endless press conferences by the DOJ, all with unsubstantiated accusations based only on his travels. No, Ruth was given his freedom, unbridled freedom. And this freedom allowed him to camp outside of the former president's golf course, and if the circumstances was right, act on a hatred Ruth had for a man who disagreed with his passion for war in Ukraine. I call this justified hatred. And Ruth deserves every bit of punishment the U.S. justice system is about to deliver. Ruth was on the right side of the narrative currently being pushed. Therefore, he enjoyed the freedom to do, say, or travel wherever he wished, regardless of his background or any red flags of mental illness. But he went too far legally. And sadly, there are still those who justify his actions because of the cause it was in support of and the person he was targeting. This is the dangerous side of politics in the United States in 2024. But hey, that's just my perspective. I'm Skye Nell Hughes. Thanks for watching.